Hello, everyone. This is Jenica from Psychology for Photographers. Thank you for being here today. I have a very special guest with me. This is Jamie Swanson from The Modern Tog. Hi, Jamie.
Hi, Jenica. Thank you.
And I brought Jamie here for a very specific reason, which is I have a confession to make. I am a total hermit. If I could sit in my writing and creation cave and just work and never talk to anybody, but somehow send that work out into the world and then clients somehow magically appeared, that would be my ideal. Unfortunately, that's not how the world works. But I was in my little creation cave a few years ago when I got an email from someone named Jamie Swanson. And she said, "Hi, my name is Jamie. Here's what I do. I think what you do is really great. Let me know if we can ever hang out or do anything together." And it was the start of a wonderful friendship. And through Jamie, I've also gotten to know many other photographers and different people of all skill sets. And I brought her here today because I want to talk about relationships. Because when you, as a business owner, put on your 17, 20, 60 business hats, you know, you sit down, you have an hour to work. Those hats are all like competing for your attention. You have web design, you have client work, you have Facebook advertising to figure out, you have Pinterest to figure out, they're like, what am I doing something with Instagram? And you have so many things competing for your time that it's like the idea of just sending an email to someone is like, well, what's the return on that investment? And you're not going to do it. You're going to let the urgent crowd out the important, as I frequently do. And Jamie has a gift for just naturally talking with people and creating relationships. So I brought her here to talk about what is the benefit of doing this, how can we create relationships that strengthen both just us as people, but also monetarily benefit us. So we're going to talk about that. So Jamie, for us introverts and cranky hermits, I'm not going to assume everyone else is cranky. I'm a little bit cranky. What's the benefit of having relationships in business?
Yeah.
Why bother?
Yeah. What I have found from building relationships with all sorts of people across all sorts of different kinds of businesses, there's multiple benefits. So one, you can build some really great friends who work with the same kind of people that you work with, which can be really personally rewarding. But two, there's also some really practical benefits. When you find people that you really connect with that you know, like, and trust, and you know they do a good job with their clients, you can refer clients to them. And then when they have somebody who they know is looking for a photographer like you, you're going to come to mind. So it's really mutually beneficial in that way because you can help people grow in their business, and they're going to turn around and want to help you grow in yours.
I want to pull that apart a little bit and look at it because, you know, we've talked like there's all these great benefits. Like as a photographer, when you network with other business owners or other photographers, you can send business back and forth. And so it's like, oh, I want to get in on that. And so I think the mistake people make, okay, mm-hmm. is that then they go up to another business owner and they sort of want to say, okay, I'll do this for you if you do this for me.
Uh-huh.
And it becomes more like a contract than a relationship.
Uh-huh.
And Jamie, you were talking to me once about how when you network, it's this awkward intersection of you've got your business relationship, but also just social. Can you tell us about that a little bit?
Yeah. There's certain rules that we use. And I feel funny because I'm sure you know this because you're the psychologist and I'm just me. But what I've learned is that, you know, we operate kind of on two sets of rules when we are building relationships. We have social norms. So that's what we would normally do with a friend. And the way we act and the things that are done in the social norm setting are going to be different than the way we would act in a business setting and our expectations for that. So there's the social norms and the business norms. For example, mm-hmm. if you're at a friend's house and they offer you a muffin, you say thanks. And if they would ask you to pay for that muffin, you'd be offended, right? So, but if you go to a coffee shop and a waitress comes up and they say, "Hey, would you like a muffin?" You go, "Sure." And you're expecting to pay for that. You know, that's the difference between the social norm and the business norm, is that you have these expectations and we've learned them, you know, growing up. And so when the hard part about building relationships within a business setting is that you've got social and business, and they kind of overlap, right? So we get mm-hmm. this weird awkwardness where you can be friends, but you also have this business relationship going on. And so it can be awkward at times, and it can be difficult to know how to do it appropriately and without awkwardness. And so when you make it a transaction saying, hey, I'm going to do this for you, you do this for me, then you're kind of in that business norm. And it's like you said, it's more of a transaction. You're not going to probably build that real relationship that you want to build. And once it's...
If you start there, especially. Yes,
especially if you start there. And I mean, maybe you're going to work together and it goes well and you move into more of a social norm setting or that mix that's good. But a lot of times if it's a, hey, I'll do this for you, you do this for me, then you're done. Like that's that, right? And that's so I feel like I'm kind of in a unique situation because I didn't approach a lot of my relationships from the point of, hey, I'm going to go out and network. It was, hey, I want to know these other cool people who are doing what I'm doing or doing something related to what I'm doing or who are working with the same people that I really want to work with and help. And so for me, it was, I wanted that social aspect because I'm social. Mm-hmm. And what I found was through helping them, when I have knowledge that I could give them and help them grow and them helping, it builds like favors, which it sounds really political and terrible because it's not meant to be manipulative. But, you know, if I feature some, like, okay, I'll use the featuring idea. I know I've talked about this with Eugenica in the past, but, you know, if I say, hey, let's feature this children's boutique store on my blog and see if I can interview her and do this just because I think her clothing is really like gorgeous. And so you go to her and you say, hey, I love your business. I love what you're doing. I work with similar clients who I think would also love it. Can I take a few pictures of you in your store and do an interview of you and feature you with no strings attached?
Yep.
They're going to be blown away. I mean, think of it if it was the opposite. If a children's clothing store came to you and said, hey, I love your photography. You know, you do these family photos and I've had several clients who've, you know, come to me to get outfitted for their session and I've seen their photos and they're gorgeous. Can I feature you on my website? What are you going to say? You're going to be like,
right.
Yeah, why Yay. Not? Like, this is awesome. Right. And so when we have those experiences, we're going to, you know, if you do something good for someone else, they're going to be more likely to want to reciprocate and give that back to you. So, you know, if I go out to coffee with Jenica and I buy her coffee, the next time we go out for coffee, what is she going to do? She'll say, hey, Jamie, I'm good. It's on me this time, right? We want to reciprocate. We want to give back. And so that's a lot of how that business stuff works is we have to be the first ones to provide value with no expectation. And some people aren't going to ever reciprocate, but some people are, and those people are going to be really loyal. And there's going to be a ton of value in that.
So I think we just should articulate the tension there, right?
Yeah.
Is that when you just say, hey, I'm going to help you and here's something I can do for you, you're sort of trusting. There's a bit of faith there that somehow something good is going to come back to you. But what I want to encourage people is to have that trust and to really take the time, because the good thing is if I said, hey, Jamie, I'm going to do this thing for you and I expect you to do this thing for me, well, I'm already defining what she's going to give back to me, but you know what? Maybe she could give something even better, but if I've predefined it, I'm never going to get to know. So for like, you don't, if you show up at college and you go around your dorm room and say, I'm going to make this friend and this friend and this friend, because I want this person to be the bridesmaid at my wedding. I want this person to help me move in 6 months. Like I, you know, that's stupid. Nobody thinks that way. Like you just like, oh, hey, you're cool. We have this interesting friends. And then that stuff naturally happens. Like then that person comes to your wedding and then that person helps you when you move because you've been friends. And we know that intuitively that when you make friends with someone, you're going to get value back and you don't have to know upfront what that value is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we can apply that safely to business. That
Absolutely.
You can just say, I really love that clothing store. I really love that restaurant. I really love that place that has games for kids. I want to just feature them and make sure they know how cool I think they are and just or just go out and get to know them and trust without putting strictures on it up front that something cool is going to happen. So let's talk about, though, because the obvious elephant in the room here is like, well, when am I going to do that? Right? Because I've got, you know, TikTok, Jamie, TikTok. I have a cave to get back to. How can we put this into practice? Like, talk to me about how you can do this, because you're busy, right? You have a business, you are one business. You homeschool your kids. It's not like you have oodles of time on your hands. I just said oodles. I never use that word. Okay. Anyway, how can I do this in real life? In my real life?
I am a huge proponent of batches, like working in batch chunks of time. So that sounds maybe ambiguous, but what I like to do, if I'm going to do something intentionally, which is the way you really need to get started, because eventually this is going to become natural for you. You're just going to, at least it's become natural for me to start connecting with people. But when you're really getting started, a good way to do it is to set aside a little bit of time that you actually mark down on your calendar, just as if it was a shoot, and you don't let anybody take that time. Like, you treat it as if it's client time. Because we wouldn't schedule, if we have a client session scheduled, it would take a lot for us to reschedule that, right? We kind of value that as sacred time. I mean, not sacred, but kind of, you know, unless you're really sick or whatever, you're not going to reschedule something over that or just say, oh, can we change it or whatever, you know? So look at it in that way. You're making it a priority and don't let anything get in the way of that. That's really important for one. But then two, it doesn't have to be super often when you do it that way. I would say even once a quarter is enough to do that. So four times a year. Four times a year. I know.
That's not very often, Jamie.
I know it isn't.
I can deal with that. I can come out of my cave four times a year.
I hope so. No, I have found that, if somebody bothers, well, not bothers. That's totally the wrong word. If you're bothering someone, you're doing it wrong, right? But if somebody is, I just don't have time to engage with people every month even, right? Because we're all busy. I have five kids and another on the way. And like, life is crazy. It just is. I have very little work time. And so when I have that work time, if I can set aside a chunk of time that is devoted just to reconnecting with people or creating new connections with people, then I can get a lot done in that little amount of time. And it doesn't have to be done very often. Not everyone you connect with, maybe somebody who's a long-term partner of yours or friend of yours even, or even networking relation, business relationship, but you'll find a few. And once you find your few, then you're going to kind of switch that quarterly thing over to a nurturing sequence. And so instead of trying to reach out to all these new people all the time and then ignoring everyone once you've, reached out to them, what you're going to want to do is you're going to want to spend some time connecting with them. And that might have different appearances. So maybe it's just sending a card, like a handwritten card is awesome. I don't send them as much as I should, but when I get them, oh man, I get so excited because all I get in the mail are bills and junk, right? And so when I get this handwritten card, it's like, my birthday. Even it's even better if it's not my birthday, right? It's just like.
Wait, can I note though? Also, this is really smart because business owners, as you know, get 800 emails a day, but they don't get 800 cards a day. So you want to think about that when you're connecting with someone. What channel am I using to connect with them? Mm-hmm. And how noisy is that channel? And you're going to be, not that of course you can send emails. Send emails, of course. Do that. But just think about that.
That's what's going to happen is that eventually, once you have kind of that core group of people that you network with, it's not that you don't ever want to network or connect with anyone new. It's just that it shifts in that it's much more valuable to really nurture the people that you've connected with well and have those same like beliefs with. And just when you really meet somebody who can understand who you are and what your business is and you guys share clientele and like it's kind of this beautiful mix of friendship and business where you can be mutually beneficial on a business level but also on the friendship level. It can shift into something where you don't need to set time aside for it specifically. But you kind of go through this phase of finding these people, finding who that core group of people that you want to, build a community around, really. Because that's one thing I found really valuable is that a lot of the people that I connected with really well, I was like, oh, you've got to meet this person and that person and that person because you would really, we all have a lot in common. And so I was able to connect us and that made it even stronger.
What we're saying is you need to go out of your comfort zone for a little while to get to know some people. but that it's very quickly going to become apparent who you really do connect with on a personal level. Then you can dispense with the small talk and just make friendships. And because I think most introverts who hesitate to do this to begin with just prefer having a few close friendships they can nurture over time. But that's really what we're talking about. And I think that's some good news. So just to wrap up, what are, so sending that initial email.
Yes.
There's a dozen ways to do it. There's no right or wrong way. Let's just throw out some ways, like concrete ways, like how can I do this? How can I bring value to you? How can I start a relationship with someone I don't know?
Right. One thing that I've found is really helpful is you need to understand their business or at least see what they're doing and be able to speak to it a little bit. So if they see that you're familiar with what they do and you're not just reaching out to 100 people, like don't write a form email all about yourself.
No.
And mass email that to everybody. What was that, Jenica? I'll
find you and yell at you if you write a form email because it's the worst.
Yes. Yeah, no, it is. It's not. You're not just kidding. It is the worst.
Oh, I'm just kidding about me finding you. Remember.
You don't want to do that. You need to genuinely have taken some time to get to know their world a little bit. When you email and you start with something that's very personal and that's really complimentary, because if you don't like their business, don't connect with them. Like, that's easy. You know, you don't want to lie. You want to be authentic. Find something that you really like about their business that you really can speak to. People, I love being complimented. Like, I love it when people tell me that I'm awesome.
Like,
yeah, let's be honest, okay? It's not, I mean, we all do. Everybody wants to be recognized for the good that we've done. And so when you can start off with that, they're going to be more receptive to anything that you have to say. You don't even need to start out with saying, hey, will you do this for me? That's probably not the best idea. But you can leave it open and say, hey, I like this about you. Here's a little bit about me and what I do. You don't have to go crazy long into it. Just a little bit to give them an idea. If you want to learn more, here's my website or whatever else. But, you know, if there's anything we can do or if you'd ever like to connect, let me know and we'll take the next steps. Or you could do something like we were talking about where you could feature them on your blog because people are going to love the exposure. They want to grow their business and they may be more likely to take a few minutes to sit down with you or do a phone interview or something if they know they're going to have some tangible benefit where they're not required to do something in return. Mm-hmm. So I think that coming into it, like you said, it is kind of it's a risk in a non-risky way. So you might not get anything out of it, but if that's really the worst that happens, that's pretty minimal on the risk scale, right? You're not going to get chewed out, hopefully. You know, if you're polite, if you're honest, if you're telling them the things that you see that you admire and what you want to do to help benefit them, they're going to be more likely to turn around and want to benefit you.
And I think the bottom line here also is just what is the email that you would love to get in your inbox?
Yeah.
Right? Do you want to get an email from someone that says, hi, my name is so-and-so. Here's a link to my business. You should check it out. Why don't we do this exchange? You know, I'll give you free flowers if you come do photos for me. What do you think? Like maybe you would, but you kind of be like, and then you start like evaluating it from a business standpoint. But if you got someone who just said, hey, I love your work. It's amazing. Just let me know if you ever want to chat. You'd be like, oh, well, you're great. You know, this is psychology for photographers. Here's a psychology tip. People love being complimented. As Jamie said, psychology research has shown that people like you more when you. I mean, like, you need to do research to know that. But here's the thing. Compliments don't actually have to be true for this to work. And I'm not saying you should just like make crap up. But what I'm saying is like, you can't really go wrong. Like if you see something that you genuinely like about someone and you tell them, you're never going to lose. Don't worry about that. It's going to work no matter what. Anyway, so just ask yourself, like, what would I love to see in my inbox? And send that email. Mm-hmm. And I think that really clarifies a lot of the weirdness of like, oh, but do I need to like, wait, should I do photos for them and then like charge them? And like, no, just what email would you love to get? Send that email and I think you'll love what comes back.
Right.
Am I right? Am I wrong? Tell me if I'm lying.
No, I agree with that. And just one other thing I want to throw in there. If you're trying to reach somebody who's extremely busy, it can be really hard to reach out to them. Like maybe there's a business in your town that's really established that you really feel matches what you do really well, like that it could be a really great mutual relationship, but you just can't get a hold of that person, sometimes it can actually be more beneficial to figure out who influences them, like who's their store manager or who's their secretary or whatever, and actually build a relationship with that person, because that person may have a lot more influence as well about getting you into touch with the other person as well, and then you're building relationships with both. So sometimes it's not that people don't want to reach out with you or don't think that, you know, they appreciate what you're doing at all. So they have, like, they have someone managing their email or their phones, or they have this barrier because so many people do have only their own interests in mind and want to sell them something or make them do something that doesn't give them any benefit at all, and don't really understand how to build a relationship and how it can be mutually beneficial. And so, or they're just super busy. They just don't have the time. And so if you can kind of figure out who those influencers are for those places that have multiple employees and things and build relationships with them, sometimes that's a better tactic than going straight for the business owner or, you know, the person you think is the big fish first. So I throw that out there because that I've unintentionally done that in the past. I'm like, oh, that's how you get to know these people, is you know somebody else who has their ear and you right. can reach them that yes. way. So,
well, thank you for coming and chatting about this with me, because I think it's really important. I think it's an area that's under talked about and underserved. And I think it's something that we can all do a little bit better with. I think I can certainly set aside once per quarter to send some emails and to nurture relationships that I already have and to start some new ones. So that's, I really enjoy that. Jamie has a lot more to say about marketing. And I just wanted to throw in really quick that she has a course called Market Tog. And if you're someone who marketing just the concept itself, I mean, never mind relationships, but just even things like Facebook marketing and social network advertising and SEO and how do I just do all of this? If you need someone to just give you checklists, bullet points, and really concrete, actionable tips to just tell you what to do for 6 weeks and actually get tangible results that are measurable and proven, I highly recommend you check out Market Tog. It's open for enrollment right now. And I have talked to a lot of people from the Psychology Photographers audience who have taken this class, and they highly recommend it. In fact, I'm going to post below some comments that people have left me about it so you can see what they have to say. It's an outstanding course, and I think you should take advantage of just checking it out. If you're someone who just really needs that push and you need someone to just tell you what to do because you have 8 million things to do, Jamie's your girl. But thank you so much. I hope you got something out of this chat about building relationships and why it's worth your time and also how to do it. So thanks so much for being here, Jamie.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. See you next time.